Cooperation is the outward look of COP21 Day 1, the Global Climate Change Conference. World leaders in Paris will, over the next 2 weeks, try to achieve something that has eluded them up until now, a realistic deal to slow the warming of the planet by limiting greenhouse gas emissions.
We have broken the old arguments for inaction. We have proved that strong economic growth and a safer environment no longer have to conflict with one another. They can work in concert with one another.
President Obama speaking on the opening day of the conference. To assist the world leaders in keeping the momentum going, thousands of protesters have hit the streets of Paris. About 100 people have been arrested for defying a ban on protests, as the city is in a heightened state of security since the terrorist attacks earlier this month. The delegates are also expected to get a boost from the private sector to help set the critical tone for the first day of this conference. Lisa Friedman is deputy editor of Climate Wire and comes to us from the conference in Paris. Lisa, how many world leaders actually showed up in Paris this week?
It's about 140 world leaders. UN is telling us that there has never before been a gathering of this many leaders together in one place for one commitment, and that's climate change.
And as far as a boost from the private sector is concerned, we have some details on that, an initiative that involves world leaders and private sector companies and other businesses around the world. Can you describe?
Yeah, this is pretty exciting. Later today, President Obama and Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates are expected to stand with the leaders of about 20 other countries and possibly other major investors. I'm not sure yet who is in town with Gates to make the announcement, but others involved in it are George Soros, Meg Whitman from Hewlett-Packard, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. Together, this is expected to be the largest clean energy research and development funding commitment ever. Countries, including the United States, China, India, but also Saudi Arabia, UAE, even small countries like Costa Rica, have pledged to double their clean energy funding for research and development.
And this is part of the vision of this conference, to enlarge the partnerships, to make it beyond simply world leaders, to make it clear that economies will be working along with the political establishment to achieve some of these goals.
Exactly. I mean, one thing that we've been hearing time and again, both before the COP and here today, is Paris is just the beginning. The real work is what happens after December 11th or 12th or 13th. But whatever happens, whatever agreement is set by the political leaders, what's really going to matter is what's done on the ground. And I think that the agreements that you're seeing, like the Gates commitment, are helping to fuel that.
There are hints of some of the divisions, Lisa, that bedeviled the Copenhagen agreement, which was not successful, the Copenhagen conference, which was not successful. And we heard some remarks from Prime Minister Modi of India suggesting that, indeed, this is a division between industrialized countries and developing countries, and that countries like India should be allowed to pollute or to get some sort of exemption from these emissions standards to fund their development, because the developed nations already got that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the divisions and the fissures between developed and developing countries have been a hallmark of these discussions on climate change since the beginning. We're at COP21. This has been going on for a long time. But I will say that, you know, beyond the rhetoric, things really are different. Yes, you still have countries like India saying that they should have the right to pollute. At the same time, you have developing countries, and not just the Chinas and Indias of the world, but war-torn countries like Congo and tiny little islands like the Marshall Islands, putting pretty serious emissions commitments on the table. You've got countries like Mongolia pledging money to the Green Climate Fund. And not just that, China pledged $3.5 billion in South-South cooperation for climate change. So the battle lines between developed and developing countries are definitely still there. Below the surface, though, you do see a lot of movement of countries of all levels of wealth and development trying to figure out what their responsibilities should be in a climate-changed world. It's a lot more complicated than it used to be, I'd say.
And they've got some time to work on it for the next 2 weeks. This is day one of COP21. Lisa Friedman is deputy editor of Climate Wire. Lisa, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.